It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
art, entertainment,
food,
topics,
automotive topics,
relationships. It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
And hello, everyone, on BTS. This is Doc Hancock coming in with the 35th edition of the BTS Mix Show. And, of course, I am joined with the effervescent Mr. Spencer Tracy. How are you, sir?
I effervesced with some, what do you call it? Plop, plop, fizz, Alka-Seltzer. Yes, earlier in the week, had some sinus going on. So I effervesced, and I feel much better now.
You know, that stuff is kind of miracle, I got to say. You know, it's good for a cold. It's good for if you have the flu, it makes you feel better. It's good for an upset stomach. And it is awesome for hangovers. Not that I've ever been hungover, but if I were, I would certainly take Alka-Seltzer.
Sweet. Hey, you know, somebody was listening actually to our show last week, and we were talking about the Windows topics and things like that. And he brought up the point that Windows evidently sells out, and some of the problems that they were having was the fact that they sell out space on Internet Explorer. In other words, if you go to Windows and you say, hey, guys, Microsoft, we'd like to buy some space on Internet Explorer in this region, and it will guarantee that your stuff pops up in that region. He thought that was the problem. I went, hey, you know what? Whatever. But he's a Mac guy, too, so he doesn't care.
I like when my stuff pops up in that region.
Did I say that?
He said region.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Time now to start BTS Mix Show number 35.
The unpleasant noise you are about to hear is not a mistake.
It's the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
A wonderful recipe for a boned turkey.
Oh, God.
It's big, isn't it?
It's very big.
And we're going to start in the Breaking General News Forum, and this is one of those just tremendous stories that you find, and this puts us on the international spectrum here, and this is again in Breaking General News, posted by Oz Weatherman, entitled "Man Tries to Pay Bill with Spider Drawing. This is Hilarious." And Oz Weatherman, yes, I must agree with you, this is indeed hilarious. And as a special treat to the BTS community, I thought perhaps what this is it's a series of emails that was between a woman trying to collect from a utility company for a guy who hasn't been paying his utility bill. So I thought that Spencer and I would act out the emails. And who do you want to play, Spencer? Do you want to play Jane Giles?
Yeah, I'll play the collection agency people.
Fantastic. And I won't even attempt to do an Australian accent here, so forgive me if I don't try one, but I would probably need to be forgiven more if I did. So let's go ahead and begin. It starts with Jane.
Dear David, our records indicate that your account is overdue by the amount of $233.95. If you have already made this payment, please contact us within the next 7 days to confirm your payment has been applied to your account and is no longer outstanding. Sincerely yours, Jane Giles.
Dear Jane, I do not have any money, so I am sending you this drawing I did of a spider instead. I value the drawing at $233.95, so I trust that this settles the matter. Regards, David.
Okay, here we go. Dear David, thank you for contacting us. Unfortunately, we were unable to accept drawings as payment, and your account remains in arrears of $233.95. Please contact us within the next 7 days to confirm payment has been applied to your account and is no longer outstanding. Yours sincerely, Jane Giles.
Dear Jane, can I have my drawing of a spider back then, please? Regards, David.
Dear David, you emailed the drawing to me. Do you want me to email it back to you? Yours sincerely, Jane Giles.
Dear Jane, yes, please. Regards, David.
Letter from email, or email from Jane Giles. Attached, the spider drawing.
Dear Jane, are you sure this drawing of a spider is the one I sent you? This spider only has 7 legs, and I do not feel I would have made such an elementary mistake when I drew it. Regards, David.
Dear David, yes, it is the same drawing. I copied and pasted it from your email you sent me on the 8th. David, your account is still overdue by the amount of $233.95. Please make this payment as soon as possible. Yours sincerely, Jane Giles.
Dear Jane, thank you for contacting me. I am currently away on leave, traveling through time, and will be returning last week. Regards, David. Dear Jane, hello, I am back and have read through your emails and accept that despite my missing a leg, the drawing of a spider may indeed be the one I sent you. I realize with hindsight that it is possible you rejected the drawing of a spider due to this obvious limb omission, but did not point it out in an effort to avoid hurting my feelings. As such, I am sending you a revised drawing with the correct number of legs as full payment for any amount outstanding. I trust this will bring the matter to a conclusion. Regards, David.
Dear David, as I have stated, we do not accept drawings in lieu of money for accounts outstanding. We accept check, bank check, money order, or cash. Please make payment this week to avoid incurring any additional fees. Yours sincerely, Jane Giles.
Dear Jane, I understand and will definitely make a payment this week if I remember. As you have not accepted my second drawing as payment, please return the drawing to me as soon as possible. It was silly of me to assume I could provide you with something of completely no value whatsoever, waste your time, and then attach such a large amount to it. Regards, David.
And then, of course, Jane emails it back, attached the spider back to David. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I would have loved to have been in Jane's position to have received those emails. That would have just brightened my day.
I imagine that they're all forwarded to everyone in the office, and they're all laughing their butts off.
You know, yeah, and if I were president of the utility company, I'd almost let that one slide. I feel like he worked for that one.
Well, let's jump over to the general chit-chat forum, Doc. The top 10 reasons you love your home state. This was posted by Carl Hungus, and it says, I'll kick it off. Oregon, the great, and I like the fact that he posted pictures. That's very nice, and Oregon is a beautiful state. The great outdoors. We have the beach, snowboarding in the Cascades, great rivers and forests, even a high desert. If that's your sort of thing. Number two, no sales tax. You know what? I'm good with that, too. When you buy something that's only 99 cents, you only have to pay 99 cents. You don't have to pay over a dollar for something on the dollar menu. That used to drive me crazy when I was out of state and probably here in Texas. We've trained professionals who pump our gas for us. There's no such thing as a full-service gas station because they are all full-service gas stations. If it's pouring down rain, all you have to do is crack your window enough to say, fill it with regular... And hand the attendant your credit card. Oh, boy, those were the days, weren't they, Doc?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, that's a good time. Well, that's the same thing in New Jersey. And I've pumped my own gas my entire life living in all the different states I've lived in. I went to New Jersey, and I went to get out of the car, and they were like, sir, step back into the vehicle. It is against the law for you to pump your own gas. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm just going to go pump some gas. They're like, sir, get back into the car. I was like, wow, okay, I won't pump my own gas then.
All right, well, number four, microbrews. We have an amazing beer selection here. Most pubs worth their weight in salt have a very wide variety of beer on tap. Oh, that sounds good. I was in Texas once and went to a bar with the largest beer selection in town. They had Bud Light, Shiner, and Lone Star. That was a very depressing evening. We actually do have some pretty good... Actually, you know what? If you ever come back down to Texas, go to Fredericksburg, because on their little main strip is a great microbrewery. That being said, on to number five. You don't need an umbrella. Once you live here long enough, umbrellas become pointless. You rarely see them. When it rains all the time, you just get used to it, and the rain isn't worth the hassle of putting up an umbrella every time that you go out. Number six, for the fellas, fully nude strip clubs. Of course, if that's your thing, kind of self-explanatory. And then has a big picture of a censored.
And a nice big censored picture, yeah.
Number seven, great. Summertime. Temperatures in the 80s and 90s with very little humidity. Not many bugs. Great for camping or anything, really. And just another great picture there. Number eight, Randy Couture. UFC legend Randy the Natural Couture is originally from Gresham. Number nine, The Simpsons. Simpson creator Matt is from here. Is that Matt Groening? It's Matt Groening, isn't it? All right, there we go. Yep. And number 10, where else have so many people died from dysentery?
And it's got that old picture from that old computer game, the Oregon Trail. It's like, you know, Martha has died from dysentery. Jonathan has a snake bite. You need to ford the river. Buy more bullets and shoot buffalo. That was a great game.
This is a really cool thread.
It is. It is. Although Seagrass writes in and says, boy, you were bored last night. LOL. Here, here. Love Oregon. There's no place better on a nice day. And that is true. Spencer, give me your top three things for living in West Texas. And I say West Texas because Texas is kind of like four states in one.
Oh, yeah, pretty much anymore. It's part of Mexico at this point. I would say the people, very friendly. No income tax in the state of Texas, which is nice. And my football team is like kicking ass. Yay, go Red Raiders. They're playing Oklahoma this weekend, and I'm so hoping, you know, I don't have anything against you Oklahomans, okay, other than the fact that I really want my Raiders to kick your ass.
And Spencer has spoken. Raiders will kick some ass.
I mean, you could run down the list of great things about New York, couldn't you, Doc?
Well, yeah, you know, and it was interesting. When I read this, I was thinking about New York. And, you know, I mean, most people obviously think of the city, and the city's great. But, you know, a lot of people seem to forget that New York is a giant state and until it comes around to election time and people remember, oh, my God, you know, that giant blue state is really all of New York. I mean, but we've got, I mean, upstate New York is gorgeous. We've got the, you know, the mountains and a lot of really cool, like, inns and little towns and old historic places. And I was just driving up through Sleepy Hollow, New York, a couple weeks ago, and was reminded that there's a whole other world up there. You kind of get, you know, lost in the city, and you kind of gain this perspective that, oh, New York, New York. And but you go upstate and it's a whole different environment, and really a whole different state. I mean, you know, Manhattan compared to the rest of upstate New York, politically, geographically, socioeconomically, they're two completely different places. And upstate is just a great place. It's very laid back, very relaxed, and it's a good place to be.
Sweet. Hey, by the way, if you want to post in this forum, you want to brag on your state, please feel free to log into the General Chit Chat forum. Top 10 reasons you love your home state. I see some folks posting from Kentucky, from Tennessee, from Massachusetts, and just some great, great, great posts here. So, you know, enjoy the pictures, too, because there's some great ones on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to see, you know, that people have a good amount of pride in their states. And I guess that takes us randomly into our next next subject here. This is in the General Chit Chat forum posted by our good friend Axis Denied. Hello, Axis Denied. And she writes in and says, ladies and gentlemen, a thread about nagging. I am definitely going to be classed as a traitor to my gender here. While speaking on the phone with my guy, and he knew he was doing something I didn't approve of and was expecting an immediate nagging response from me, I simply stated that hundreds of years of women nagging at men hasn't changed a thing, and I didn't expect it to now. Quite insightful off the cuff. Ladies, stop wasting your breath. If you want your guy to do something, tell him once and tell him why. If he forgets because he is busy, it's okay to remind him once and only once. If you want him to take out the garbage and he doesn't, and you remind him and he doesn't, by all means, you are not a useless tool with your hands painted on. Take it out for him, but not to the curb, mind you, the garage, nicely placed on the driver's seat of his prized possession. You want him to pick up his laundry, and for 3 days his boxers and socks sit on the floor beside the bed? By all means, ladies, pick it up for him. Deposit it into the basket and sit that basket beside the washing machine. Do not wash it. In a few days, when he looks in his dresser and closet and they are empty, he'll go looking in the laundry room, and surprise, a red bow on the basket would be a nice touch. I think you girls get the idea for some classic reading for the ladies, and she posts a thread at about.com. And for the guys, well, ladies, you need to read this too. No wonder they don't listen. It's a testosterone conspiracy, a secret society of the lowest order. And then there's another link posted there. And I got to say, Axis Denied, that is some smart thinking right there. Take it right to them. Don't nag with your words. Nag with your actions and put the action in their corner. And this is, you know, this is a benchmark of all successful people. This is exactly what they do. Instead of, you know, the true definition, I think, of insanity is doing something again and again, expecting a different result. And if you continue to verbally nag, and this, I think, goes for either sex. If you continue to nag your significant other and it's not working, then absolutely take the action to them. And I think that this was a very insightful, very wise post. Well done, Access Denied.
You know, Doc, you've heard that old saying that men are dogs.
Oh, yeah, of course. I get called one on a daily basis. Are you kidding me?
Because when you think about it, have you ever heard the old story about, you know, the cartoon? You've seen the old cartoon where the person is just going, now, Rover, you're a bad dog. You shouldn't poop on the carpet, Rover. Bad, bad. And, you know, what the dog hears is blah, 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 Rover, blah, 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 Rover, blah, 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 blah. He doesn't understand a damn thing you're saying. Kind of like guys. They'll get in that mode, that autopilot mode. And it's here's how you break them out of it, ladies. Okay, just try this. Honey, I'd like you to take out the garbage and clean out the garage, sex, and then maybe a little bit later you could vacuum the floor, beer, and then, you know, maybe you could help me make up the bed, sex. That I think when you interject that That's going to get their attention. Instantly, they wake up and go, what? Oh, did you? Okay.
Or that could backfire and they'll get up and say, oh, great. We get to have sex and I can drink beer and then we get to have more sex. Awesome. Let's go.
To-do list first, honey. Anyway, it's just a suggestion.
This is great. Access denied or post directly afterwards. This is a great example. On the topic of leaving the toilet seat up, ladies, you know men are creatures of habit and usually have to do a number two about the same time every day. Monitor this closely. About 10 minutes before his usual time, go in the bathroom and remove the seat. Yes, practice doing this while he's not around so you get both good at it and fast. When he goes to use the toilet, he will get full effect of sitting on a cold rim and sliding into a bowl of water. I call that trick Dunkin' Donuts.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix Show right after this.
Yes, I have to go dunk my donuts.
That's really more information than I needed. Thanks, Doc.
It's the same dream night after night. I hear this beating, this rhythm. I'm wandering like an unfulfilled lost soul through this misty haze. But I keep following the sound. It seems like I walk forever. In the distance, I see something beautiful, magnificent. It seems so far away, yet so near that I can reach out and touch it. As I approach closer, I can see millions of people, all ages, races, religions, philosophies. People from around the world and from every nation on terrestrial Earth. They're moving in mass towards something mystical, magical, magnetic. As I follow them, all of a sudden they begin to create a path for me to walk through. I can see something massive on the horizon. As I get closer, I see a banner unfurling in the gentle wind. It says, "Welcome to the revolution." The crowd begins cheering and celebrating. I'm so overwhelmed by the experience that I wake, still hearing the beating of the heart. And then my dream becomes crystal clear. I have found my holy grail. My thirst is quenched. My lifelong quest finally achieved. I have found AboveTopSecret.com. And my beating heart joins theirs. I have become a member. Welcome to our revolution. AboveTopSecret.com.
All right, before we eat, let's bow our hands and say thanks.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And sometimes when we get lost in our world of BTS here, we forget that there is a giant, bold world sitting around us with fantastic topics. And of course, what I mean is to say above Top Secret and above politics, which of course have their own podcast as well. And of course, it's the ATS Mix and Above Politics. And those guys do a tremendous job. But there's also a ton of other media content on the website, which is always great to take a look at. And this actually comes at us in the board and business questions forum. And this is from Skeptic Overlord. And he's, as we all know, the owner of the site. And he posts and he says, "Hey, free premium professional videos on ATS. Many of our new members and visitors may not be aware of the nice collection of full-length, high-quality videos available on ATS, free for all to view. If you visit video.abovetopsecret.com, you'll have full access to our full list, or click the titles below that interest you." And of course, there's War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, In Debt We Trust, 9/11 Press for Truth, Alex Jones's Endgame, This Divided State, Big Easy to Big Empty. And of course, there are other titles as well. And, you know, this is all really great kind of food for the mind, really well put together pieces of video. So, by all means, hop on, check it out. You won't be sorry.
And as a matter of fact, Doc, they're going to be posting a new video very, very soon. It'll be at right after our Christmas party.
Oh, yes. With me dunking my donuts. Is that correct?
And, well, I think we don't want to watch you dunk your donuts, but we will let you play butt darts. How about that?
Woohoo, butt darts.
All right, now that we've taken care of business, let's jump over to the dreams and personal predictions. Paris Hilton and ATS. This is posted by Help Me Find the Way. Okay, just woke up and I had to share the kookiest dream. First, I don't care for or follow celebrity buzz, especially Paris Hilton, but here's the dream. I'm in the ATS bar, sitting at the bar, sipping a drink. And I'm watching the news reports on the bar television that show the infamous Paris Hilton attempting to give a solid interview about something important, though it's never revealed to me what the topic is. She begins the interview with Barbara Walters. I noticed that she's being heckled every time. The hecklers are muttering something I cannot understand, but what I can hear is the sound of the type of a foghorn when Paris tries to speak. I start to feel a little sorry for her, then I look away from the TV and glance to my right where, lo and behold, Paris is sitting two stools away. My immediate reaction is to find out what she has to say, but I feel as though I'm being watched. I slowly begin to add alphabet ice cubes to my glass of Pepsi and am attempting to spell out a welcome with bobbing cubes around the rim of the glass. Then I realize the alphabet cubes will not float. The snowstorm woke me up. That's it. Weird.
Yeah, you know, NyQuil in excess before bedtime will bring on illusions of grandeur. So be careful. And if Paris Hilton's in your head, by all means, man, get her out. Get her out.
Okay, so let's analyze his dream, though. Let's give a take on this. So he's at the bar, the ATS bar. So I've obviously helped me find the way, is very familiar with ATS and BTS, and realizes that we have a bar. It's a secret bar, but we have one. And feels comfortable there. This is where he likes to hang out. And then a famous celebrity comes on the TV, interviewed by another famous news person, but he can't make out what she's saying. Instead, all he hears are little foghorns and noises coming from her mouth. And then it turns out that she's sitting in the bar next to him. That's got to be, I'm thinking there's that, I really don't care what you have to say, but it would be really cool to see a naked kind of dream.
I'm going to take it a step farther, and I'm going to say that Paris Hilton represents perhaps an object of affection in his real life, perhaps someone close to him, and I'm going to take it a step further and say that maybe he is sometimes embarrassed by what she has to say, and it is because of that embarrassment that he maybe feels sorry for her or him, and because of that feeling of sorry for them, the feeling of pity for them, they have that need to want to fix the significant other or the person close to them. That's the way I see it psychologically. Just a theory.
I'm having a tough time kind of interpreting the alphabet ice cubes, though.
Yeah, maybe you had some alphabet soup for lunch.
We could spend the rest of our lives trying to figure you out, Help Me Find the Way, but an interesting dream. And by the way, if you have an interpretation of this, and a lot of our folks actually study dreams and have a lot of experience interpreting the different symbols and colors and different meanings in your dream. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody logs on and gives you an interpretation of this dream pretty quick.
Yes, and something even more important, the day that Paris Hilton walks into the ATS bar would be the day of Armageddon. Oh no, Armageddon.
It's the end of the world as we know it. Oh, I'm sorry. That was kind of a cross between REM and the B-52s, which is really weird.
I'm sure REM would appreciate that, and I'm sure the B-52s would appreciate that. But this would indeed be Armageddon, and this brings us directly into our next post in the Religion, Faith, and Theology Forum. We've been visiting this a little bit more frequently lately, and I thought this was an interesting question. Simply Noon posts, a question about Armageddon. When is it? This says it is after the 1,000 years, not at the end of the tribulation like so many here believe. Revelation 27, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And Revelation 28, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And when I read this, you know, I'm certainly not very well versed as Simply Noon is. But I also thought an interesting question is, what exactly is Armageddon? Not only when is it, but what is it? And I think everybody's kind of got their own perspective. And that's kind of why I thought that this topic was interesting, because it's, you know, it's kind of open to interpretation to a certain degree.
And, you know, it is an actual place, Doc. It's a place in the Middle East. Armageddon, is a rough translation of Armageddon. That's what it's actually named. And a lot of wars have been fought there. It's like the crossing roads of the continents there. So there's been quite a few major battles there. And it's rather interesting that in the end times, the Bible says that there's going to be another war right there with all these hundreds of millions of troops and these huge armies gathered together for that one battle. And then I think that if you look at Dr. Rex's post right after this, it talks a little bit about the two different battles, because there's a battle before Christ returns. That's one of the interpretation through Revelation, that there's a battle before Christ returns. And then there's a battle at the very end after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where it says that Satan is loosed and he gathers the armies together and they come against God's people and then immediately destroyed. From what a lot of people are starting to see interpreted in the Bible from Ezekiel and the Psalms and different places like that, is there will be a war that will involve Damascus, Syria, Libya, and some of these other Middle Eastern countries, Egypt. And that'll be a war before the Russian and Iranian war takes place. Besides that, jumping back on the topic, Armageddon is an actual place. And the Battle of Armageddon, it's not like, okay, we're going to name the battle that. That's actually where the battle takes place.
And here all this time I thought it was something to do with Bruce Willis and the big guy from the Green Mile blowing up some asteroid. Man, I gotta really brush up on my history.
It's pulp culture. You would think. I mean, then you have, what is it, Mission Messiah, when you had Robert Duvall going to go blow up the asteroid that was coming to crash in Deep Impact with Morgan Freeman as president. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting takes that Hollywood has on Armageddon, but it's actually a place. It's not necessarily, I guess it's both. It's both an event, but it's also a place of where the battle takes place.
Well, good to know. Well, there you have it, folks, the scoop on Armageddon.
And unfortunately, I didn't probably say that well enough, so please read the thread. And there's probably many, many more people that are more versed on this, but it's in the Faith, Religion, and Theology Forum, a question about Armageddon.
Hey, everyone. This is Homer Fife. My partner, Martin Bain, and I are the hosts of the Above Politics show on AboveTopSecret.com. Along with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous with the ATS Mix, and Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock with the BTS Mix, we have made it extremely easy to subscribe to all of our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, if you click them, they will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, it's your subscription that helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come on, join all of us. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. You can deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. And of course, deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and, you guessed it, me, Homer Fife. Come on, be part of the revolution. The Above Network, LLC.
The BTS Mix Show, worldwide at BelowTopSecret.com.
In today's America, technology empowers the public in nearly everything they do.
Deny boredom.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I am Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. It's good to have you with us. This one is posted by one of our wonderful members that we love to chat with, and he actually had on the show, Lombozo, who's a forum moderator. He posts in the general chit-chat forum, the Lombozopedia Explanation of Cheese Whit. I've been all over the country. Almost everywhere has something on the menu called a Philly cheesesteak. Well, you're right there. The vast majority of these Philly cheesesteaks have green pepper mixed in. Ha ha ha. I'm now going to use my Philly accent. You know what I'm saying or what? Go into South Philly, go to 9th Street and check out the Italian market. Check out the freaking people, best freaking people around. Tough, loyal, and honest. I love this freaking place. I can tell. If you've ever seen the movie Rocky, it's the real view of South Philly. So he goes on and he talks about the particular area. Cheese Whit. What the heck is a Cheese Whit? 9th Street. There are two of the best cheesesteak places on the planet directly across the street from one another. One is called Pat's, the other one is called Gino's. Two different styles. Pat is chopped beef, Gino's is sliced beef. No freaking green pepper to be seen. You understand me or what? Can I tell you how many times I went back and forth eating at Pat's, then Gino's at 3 a.m. the freaking morning to pick the better freaking cheesesteak? I have to say that Pat's is my favorite. So now we know basically what a cheese whiz is and that it does not include green pepper stock.
Yeah, and that's an interesting debate. My understanding of the debate between cheesesteaks was that exactly. It's how you prepare the beef to begin with, because it's all about the meat. And there are, of course, you know, very renowned places in Philly that, you know, do it very different ways, yet they're all very popular. So, you know, I got to say, it's so interesting, though, that such a it's such a diverse sandwich in terms that it is everywhere, but it, you know, you got to go to the source. You really got to go to the source. And man, I've eaten one of those sandwiches in Philly, and oh, that's some good stuff right there, boy.
So here's how I connect a lot of different cities. I think about what I ate there. When I went to Chicago, I had a deep dish Chicago style pizza, and I'm trying to, it's a famous pizza place. And guys, please forgive me. I'm trying to remember because I just got through talking to a guy about this pizza place. Wonderful, wonderful deep dish pizza. It's just like eating a huge piece of pie, and it's just, oh, just fantastic. Not that thin stuff. No, this is like 2 inches thick. It's just amazing. Or, you know, maybe in Ireland, in Dublin, just north of Christchurch, there's a little fish and chips place there that does the best fish and chips. The fish is actually almost about 10 inches long. They put it on a bed. Well, first they get a newspaper, then they put on a bed like of they call them chips, but actually we call them French fries here in America, and then put the fish on top of that, and then you can get the vinegar and stuff. That is some of the best, oh my gosh, fish and chips that I think I've ever had in my life.
Here in New York, of course, I guess we're known for pizza. It's the thin stuff, and there's a place called Grimaldi's, and it sits directly under the Brooklyn Bridge. And I'll tell you, the only way I can describe it is if you imagine what pizza should taste like, that's it. That's it right there. And it's just incredible. It's what every other pizza aspires to be, and that's all I can say about it.
And, of course, you know, there's some great Mexican food. Dave and I went to go to a Mexican food place in Dallas, just a fantastic little place. That's where we ended up playing butt darts, by the way, if you're wondering. But listen to an earlier episode or just ask Dave. He'll tell you all about that for those of you listening that don't know what that is. But, yeah, different places, great food. We've got some great Mexican food restaurants, of course, in Texas, but great barbecue, too. Down probably about 150 to 180 miles from me in Llano is a place called Cooper's. Now, a lot of people in Texas drive through during the springtime and look at the bluebonnets as they're blooming, and it's just beautiful. And they'll stop at Cooper's on their way to Fredericksburg or on that big loop that they make, and they'll have barbecue there. And what they do is they give you a tray, put some wax paper on it, and then just ask you what kind of meat you want. And they'll slice it, and then they weigh it by the pounds of meat that you get. And then you add the beans and the coleslaw, the corn, or whatever else, in the cobbler, whatever else you want on there. Oh my gosh. It's like you want to take a nap after you eat there. It's so good.
That sounds great. That reminds me of this place here in New York. It's called Churrascaria Plataforma, and it's a Brazilian meat buffet. That's the only way I can really describe it. And you go in and you, they let you hit the salad bar, but the salad bar is just incredible. It's kind of on this freestanding platform that's over a waterfall. Like, it's kind of hard to describe, but you go, and they have sushi, and they've got crab, and they've got all sorts of different stuff there. Then you go and you sit down at the table, and you have a little disc, and one side is green, one side is red. And then you flip that disc up to green, and all of these men come out with giant pieces of meat on skewers, fresh meat, and they just serve it and carve it up for you, and they keep bringing it until you turn that disc over. And, of course, you can turn the disc over and go back to the salad bar. You can do whatever you want to do. But it's like this, like, high fancy meat buffet. And, man, I'll tell you, I've never been so stuffed in my entire life, but it was worth every moment of it.
All right, you're going to have to take me out there.
Anytime, man. Come on out.
I think we're going to try to get up there for Christmas. Of course, I love, you know, New York at Christmas time. And, of course, Thanksgiving is coming up. It's just going to be just around the corner. So, well, before we get off on those topics, let's go ahead and jump over to the next thread, which is in the rant, a catch-22 at work. Now, for those younger folks that maybe don't know what catch-22 is, I'm going to read, and here's a neat little program I got for my iPhone. It's called 100 Words, so you can sound smart. I'm wondering what it's going to take. But it basically has 100 different words on here. And one of the things I've actually looked through today was catch-22. And catch-22 it has to do with a situation in which a desired outcome or solution is impossible to attain because of a set of inherently contradictory rules or conditions. And this was originally let me go jump to the actual author who came up with this. Joseph Heller, American writer, who wrote the 1955 novel Catch-22. So now I sound like I'm very informed. You know what Catch-22 is. Let's jump over to this particular rant, Doc.
Yeah, and this comes in from RTCCTR, and it says, I was an assistant manager at a retail store. The company policy was no one was allowed to work in the store alone. The loss prevention person told me if I was ever in the store alone, I was to call him. As it turned out, a few weeks ago, later my DM told me we had to cut hours and I had to work 5 hours alone. I asked him about the company policy of not being alone in the store. He told me to shut up and deal with it. Catch-22 is, if I call loss prevention, I disobey my DM and can be written up for insubordination and fired. If I don't call loss prevention, I can be fired. And on top of that, I don't know if it's a test to see if I follow company policy. Here's the question. Do I follow my DM's instructions or do I call loss prevention? My advice would be just to follow the instructions. And if, you know, the corporate office or whatever calls you, say, look, I was advised by my superior to do this. And I think in the structure of everything, it's your superior who is responsible for that. So they would then take the heat because they were not following company policy as they ordered you to do something that went directly against company policy. That's my two cents.
You do want to protect yourself. Here we kind of go back. Doc, remember that thread that we talked about jerk bosses? And then I suggested maybe you just get a little digital recorder and you carry it around. So when they're being a jerk, you get it on tape, especially when they give you instructions that are against company policy. That would kind of protect you. Now, again, if your boss is a jerk and you feel like, you know, your job would really be in jeopardy, or if somebody comes down and checks this out, I don't know. I mean, with layoffs and everything else the way it is, you might want to just follow the DM's advice and just go with it. I think Doc's advice was great on that. But I don't know how many people, somebody has told them to do something and then they go, well, didn't you get a company manual? Didn't you know that was wrong? And then it came back and bit them in the butt. And a lot of times they won't fire the manager. They'll just fire the employee because it's just easier.
You know, it's one of those things where you just really have to be careful nowadays you know, just be wise about it and make the best decision, kind of read the situation. That's all you really can do.
Yeah, so hang in there. You know, we're all trying to do the best we can in this weird economy. All right, let's jump over to the next thread, Doc. It's in music. You picked this one. It's your pick for the best album of 2008.
Yeah, this comes in from Drock905 and says, personally, I wasn't blown away by anything, and I got over 200 records this year. Maybe you did better. What was your favorite of 2008? And I got to say, I think it would be the Killers album, and I'm trying to look up the name of it right now, but it's from the band The Killers. Very impressive album, one of those albums you can listen to front to back, and it's very cohesive, very good album, and that's the only way you can really judge an album anymore, because now it's, you know, you get one or two decent songs on it, and the rest is all crap. You know, and back in when music was good in, you know, the 60s and 70s, you know, you'd have these great, you know, cohesive albums that were kind of released as a unit. I mean, you know, you look at like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's from front to back. That's a piece of art that was put together intentionally and executed brilliantly. So that's what I define as an album.
You're the man. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, how many songs have I heard and how many albums do I buy? I don't. But I would say some of the best, Coldplay, obviously, has done really great. Mm-hmm. AC/DC just came out with a new album that spent a couple of weeks at number one, I mean, debuted number one on Billboard's Top 100. So obviously, either the advertising paid off or it was, you know, a pretty good album. Of course, we haven't heard anything from AC/DC in a while, and I'm a big AC/DC fan. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than that, I'm trying to think, man, I the Eagles, but that was actually last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Who else? Who else do I? Metallica released a new album this year, and from what I've heard, it's decent. I'm not a huge Metallica fan, but I like them.
Okay, so if you have any opinions on this, please help us, because obviously I don't. this is in the music. Your pick for the best album of 2008. All right, I don't even think we've got a winner on last week's screen test, Doc.
Yeah, right? People kept taking stabs at it, and I got to give big kudos to Rush, and she's really, you know, been putting in, and Access Denied's really been putting in the elbow grease to try and get the answer. I'm going to leave it open for now because I think it's easier than everybody thinks it is. I think it's become this unattainable thing now. It's very simple. A writer from New Jersey who was in a Die Hard movie. Think Jersey, think Die Hard, kind of think outside of the box on Die Hard, though, although he was in the movie, had a significant role in one of the movies. So take a stab at it.
Hey, Doc, I'm flipping through here right now just to see if anybody had a last-minute post at the time of this recording, and it looks like, okay, the last person to post was Rush again, and she guessed Kevin Smith.
And Kevin Smith is the winner. Yay! Way to go, Rush.
Really?
That is
correct.
At the 11th hour, literally. Well done. Yes, it is Kevin Smith, of course, a famed writer of Clerks, Mallrats, Jersey Girl, which wasn't tremendous, but it was fine. And he was in the third Die Hard movie. He was in the most recent one. He played kind of the computer whiz or what have you. So, and he is from New Jersey. So that was last week's BTS Mix Screen Test. And now we have this week's BTS Mix Screen Test. And this one, I think it's pretty clever, but not very clever. So I'm going to give it 5,000 points. How does that sound, Spencer?
Sounds good. I mean, you had me stumped last time, so let's see what the BTS screen test is for this week.
Great. And it goes a little something like this. This man of steel comes from a land down under, but accept no deception. This prestigious actor is a megastar, even back when the wind came sweeping down the plains. Who is this actor? And it could be worth 5,000 BTS points.
Lex Luthor.
Yes, it's Lex Luthor. Spencer, you're not supposed to say that. You're not eligible. No, that is not the correct answer. So please, chime in. Hopefully we can get it within the week this time, and have fun.
Hey, and everybody, thanks for listening to the BTS Mix Show. We hope that you have a great Thanksgiving. It's coming up, and you know, have a safe time. If you're traveling, be careful out there. And, of course, my Red Raiders, guns up, guys. Go get them.
And if you don't live in the United States, just kill a turkey in cold blood anyways. It's a lot of fun and can be good for the soul. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's edition of the BTS Mix Show. I am Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. Y'all be good to each other.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.
A little bit earlier this evening, I received an extraordinarily call from Senator McCain. Senator McCain fought long and hard in this campaign. He has endured for America that most of us cannot begin to imagine. Him, Governor Palin, and I look forward to f***ing with them. To those who would tear the world down, we will f*** you. And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals. F*** you. And f*** the United States of America.